minus 5, minus 4, minus 3, minus 2, X minus 1. Fire.
Lights out, everybody.
The creaking door.
Dimension X.
Inner Sanctum Mystery.
Minus 1.
Dark fantasy.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Sci-Fi and Horror, brought to you by Duane Old Time Radio. Sci-Fi and Horror features some of the best programs from the golden age of radio, including X-1, Orbiter X, Dimension X, Slot X's, Lights Out, Ray Bradbury, Dark Fantasy, and many, many more. Before we start today's sci-fi and horror thriller, if you enjoy what I'm doing, let me ask you to subscribe to my channel. Subscribing is 100% free, and you will receive notifications on new posts. And now, on to the show. Future Tense is here for the week, where they do recreations or reenactments, whatever you want to call them, readaptations of old Ray Bradbury stories, mostly. Well, no, they're not old. They're mostly old, like X-1 Dimension X stories. Sorry about that. Anyway, Future Tense, Born of Man and Woman is the name of the story. May 16th, 1974.
Stay tuned now for adventure and excitement in the world of the future. It's entertainment for the entire family, produced right here in Kalamazoo.
Join us now for a voyage into another dimension. A journey into a realm as infinite and limitless as time itself. Our destination, the farthest reaches of the imagination. WMUK Special Projects presents Future Tense.
A double feature. First, Born of Man and Woman by Richard Matheson. Adapted especially for Future Tense by John Scott.
Calls me wretch. I wonder what it is, a wretch. Well, I saw in her eyes the anger. Mother is a pretty, I know. In my bed place with cold walls around, I have a paper thing that was behind the furnace. It says on it, screen stars. I see in the pictures faces, like of mother and father. Father says they are pretty. Once, he said it.
They are pretty. And also, mother. Yes, your mother's pretty. And me, I'm decent enough. And look at you. Look at you.
It's all right, Father.
Don't touch me. Now get back.
This day, Mother let me off the chain a little, so I could look out the little window. That's how I see the water falling. I see it falling all around. The ground sucks up the water like thirsty lips. It drinks too much and gets sick and runny brown. I don't like it. This is another day. This day, there is a gold ball in the blue upstairs. As I know, when I look at it, my eyes hurt. And after I look, everything in the cellar is red. I think this is church day. Upstairs they leave. The big machine swallows them and rolls past and is gone. In the back part is the little mother. She is much smaller than me. I can see out the little window all I like. In this day, when it gets dark, I had eat my food and some bugs. I hear laughs upstairs. I like to know why there are laughs for. I take the chain from the wall and wrap it around me. I walk to the stairs. They creak when I walk on them. My legs slip on them. I don't walk on stairs. My feet stick to the wood. I go up and open the door. It is a white place. I go in and stand quiet. I hear the laughing some more. I walk to the sound and look through to the people. More people than I thought was. I think I should laugh with them, but I trip on my chain.
Oh, what are you doing up here?
Where are the chips? What fell?
The ironing board. Come help me with it.
Now, is that so heavy that you have to...
He sees me. It grows big. The anger comes in his eyes. He hits me. I spill some of the drip on the floor from one arm. It is not nice. It makes ugly green on the floor.
You get to the cellar. Now.
I have to go. The light, it hurts some now in my eyes. It is not so like that in the cellar.
Must you tie him like that? Not so tightly, Jeff.
Would you like him to entertain your guests? Oh, God. And only 8 years old.
This day, Father hammered in the chain before it had light. I have to try to pull it out again.
That should hold it. Now, you were bad to come upstairs. Do you understand? Never do that again. Never. Do you hear me? If you do, I'll beat you hard.
I hurt. I sleep and rest my head against the cold wall. And I think of the white place upstairs. I got the chain from the wall out. Mother's upstairs. I hear little laughs, very high. I look out the window, and I see all little people, like the little mother, and little fathers, too. They are pretty. They are making nice noise and jump around. Their legs move fast. They are like mother and father. Mother says all right people look like they do. One of the little fathers saw me. He points at the window. I let go and slide down the wall in the dark. I curl up so they cannot see. I hear their talks by the window. I hear the little mother call upstairs. I hear heavy steps, and I rush to my bed place. I hit the chain back on the wall and lie down on my front.
Have you been at the window? Stay away from the window. Now you pull the chain out again. Why do you disobey?
Mother hits me with a stick. I don't cry. I can't do that. But the drip runs all over the bed.
Oh, my God. My God, why have you done this to me?
Upstairs, I hear the little one. Come slow down the steps. I hide myself in the coal bin, for Mother would have anger if the little mother saw me. She has a live thing with her. It walks on her arms and has pointy ears. The live thing smells me. It looks at me, and its hair stands up. In the throat, it makes an angry noise. It jumps at me. I didn't want to hurt it. I got fear because it bites harder than the rat does. And the little mother screams. I get live thing tight, kiss it all together. It's all lumpy and red on black coal.
Kristen, where are you?
I hide when Mother calls. I am afraid of the stick. I creep over the coal with the thing. I hide it under my pillow and rest on it. I put the chain in the wall again. This is another time. Father chained me tight. I hurt because he beat me. This time I hit the stick out of his hand and made noise. He went away. His face was white. He ran out of my bed place and locked the door. I am not so glad. All day, it is cold in here. The chain comes slow out of the wall. And I have a bad anger with Mother and Father. I will show them. I will do what I did that once. I will screech and laugh loud. I will run on the walls. Last, I will hang my head down by all my legs and laugh and drip green all over until they're sorry they didn't be nice to me. If they try to beat me again, I'll hurt them. I will.
Dr. Itar's Experiment, written especially for Future Tense by Martin Gingrich. Report number 276J from Virgil Blake, Chief Investigator, Federal Bureau of Human Concerns. Subject, Dr. Itar's Experiment. Date, May 24, 2025. Time, 10.05 a.m., Washington offices of the Federal Bureau of Human Concerns, third floor conference room. Present were Andrew Nelson, Chief of the Bureau, David Churcher, Senior Statistician, Anita Bonner, Head Psychologist, and myself. Chief Nelson began.
I'll come right to the point. Up until 4 days ago, we've not had one single death on this continent for 25 years. In fact, the few just at the beginning were accidental. Farmers still had to farm, construction workers still tore down and put up buildings, factories still had to operate. But since people don't actually handle machinery anymore, there are no fatal accidents. We have had literally no deaths. And the devil of it is, everything is operating smoothly. Everyone's prosperous. No one is poor or sick or suffers. There's no possible reason for suicide. Yet, in this city alone, we have averaged 10 suicides a day for the last 4 days. 42, counting the two this morning.
I only hope one of you has something I can work on.
Our problem seems to be isolating the cause. Anita, it seems like it has to be a psychological cause.
Our whole study so far points to what it is not, although, of course, we can't be sure.
Well, what isn't it, then?
In the 5 years preceding the complete implementation of Dr. Itar's program, the best minds in the country weighed and argued probable results. The greatest fear, expressed mostly by artists and psychologists, was that life would become boring. Nothing new could ever develop. And because Iterin makes people sterile, we would not even have children to challenge our boredom. Creativity would cease to exist. I agreed.
But at the time, most people thought it a small price to pay for eternal life, eternal youth.
Even so, a few thought life without risk of death would be too tedious to bear.
But with the universal application of Iterin to almost every substance taken into the human body, we said goodbye to death and the fear of death.
Anyway, as soon as I received the reports on the first suicides last Thursday, I asked Dave to think of boredom as a possible cause when he examined the files of the victims.
The statistics we have now will not support that theory. These suicides were not caused by depression, boredom, or hopelessness.
What were they like, Dave? Any pattern? Anything you could see from their psychological profile?
Well, there was a pattern, all right, Chief. A very obvious one. But it didn't have anything to do with their minds.
Well, okay, tell us what it is.
Every one of the victims up to this morning, I still don't know about them yet, but every one of the others was a member of Dr. Itar's original group.
The ITAR building, with the words Home of Iterin emblazoned on its massive doors, had become a landmark practically from the moment Dr. ITAR's program had been adopted by the state. Dr. ITAR himself occupied the entire top floor and maintained his own laboratory in his apartment. In the first years of his residence here, the building had been heavily guarded. But when people realized that Iterin was free to everyone and readily available for the nearest water tap, the necessity for security diminished. 10:45 a.m., I entered the building and rode the elevator to the penthouse. The doors opened directly into the outer office of Dr. Itar's laboratory. Behind a reception desk sat a young woman. It was hard to tell in this day when no one aged beyond 30, but she looked younger, maybe 25.
Mr. Virgil Blake, we received your tapes and your office called to say you were coming.
I didn't want to surprise you.
Dr. Itar is waiting in the lab. He's fed your tapes into the computer. He's so disturbed by the news of these suicides.
We're all disturbed, Miss...
I'm Nova, Dr. Itar's assistant.
Well, Nova, any information we do have points straight here.
Dr. Itar, Mr. Blake from the Bureau.
What? Who?
Your surprise is normal, Mr. Blake. You wonder why in the land of the young I should look so old. What would you say, about 50?
Why, yes, I guess so, but I'm out of practice.
Oh, just like you, Mr. Blake, and all of us except Nova here. I am much older than I look.
What's different about Nova?
She is exactly the age she looks. All the children who are born that year, 1999, are still aging.
I'd say Nova is aging quite nicely, Doctor.
Oh, tut, Mr. Blake. As for my own age it looks, they are the result of my experiments on myself.
Experiments on yourself?
Well, now, how could I, who have given to humankind eternal life, have asked someone else to return his life to me and grow old, perhaps die? I could only experiment on myself.
I understand. But why reverse the process at all, on yourself or anyone?
Well, I can explain that, too, Mr. Blake. Nova, will you bring my charge from the fire, please?
Yes, sir.
You see, I was already nearly 60 when the first crude Iterin produced those surprising results.
I was just a boy then. My father and mother had both died. My mother of cancer and my father of grief. A few years earlier, your discovery might have saved them.
Science does not adhere to man's timetable, Mr. Blake.
Here's the chart, Doctor.
No, thank you. I was going to tell myself and how I think they relate to these suicides.
For God's sake, Doctor, if you do know, tell us. People all over the world are going to go to their minds.
Easy, Mr. Blake. I have not heard that plea for a long time. For God's sake. Iterin came about by accident. Actually, two accidents.
What do you mean, Doctor?
Well, back in the early 90s, I was working on a fertility chemical for the Kress Institute of Biochemistry and Eugenics. I discovered Iterin by accidentally displacing one of the hydrogen atoms in acetylsalicylic acid, a substance commonly used at that time to induce insensibility to pain.
Aspirin?
Correct, Mr. Blake. And replacing it with an amino group. That was the first accident. The second occurred when I tried a new compound on an experimental group the following year.
Was that the Kress experiment on the 400 sterile couples?
Ah, you have done your homework, Mr. Blake. You're quite correct. Although we failed to achieve the desired result, we realized by the end of the year that Iterin had produced a cessation of the aging process. So far as we could tell, these people had not aged a minute in the entire year. Some of the older couples seemed to grow younger. A few balding men grew some hair. Flaccid female skin tightened on the upper arms, around the eyes, and under the chin. And within the next year, all the members of the group looked about 30 years old.
Some accident.
Well, soon, after a few more tests, all of us older scientists at Kress took large doses of Iterin. I was the first.
Then the government took over and the whole project and made you its chief.
I was absolutely convinced then that Iterin was safe, and I still am. And I so advised our leaders. They announced its benefits to the public. It became a campaign issue. And before long, we were putting it into the water along with the fluoride, into milk along with the calciferol, into cereal along with riboflavin. I felt like Casimir Funk, McCollum, and Davis all rolled into one. I found a true vital amine. Blake,
What is it, Doctor? Nova!
A glass of water, quickly, Mr. Blake. There, in the lab sink.
Oh, no. I'm all right now. The sudden exhilaration. I suddenly realized I've given the world eternal life and eternal youth.
Dr. Itar, are you sure you're okay?
Oh, yes. I think so.
I'd like to know more about these latest experiments.
Of course. I'm sorry, Mr. Blake. I stopped taking Itarin 5 years ago. Distilled water, organic vegetables, no meat, the whole thing. And as I expected, all the old doubts and worries, fear of death, and above all, sickness of the body, they all returned. I aged again with incredible rapidity. I do not know if I remain sterile or not, but last year I started taking Itarin again, and the aging has reversed somewhat, but not nearly so quickly as 30 years ago, and not enough. Blake. Excuse me a moment, please.
Certainly.
I'm so worried about him. He's been so depressed.
What's that?
Dr. Itar! Oh, help me with him, Mr. Blake. It's too late.
Goodbye, Nova. Ich gehe zu neuer Leben.
Look, Mr. Blake. He's smiling.
What's in this jar, Nova? It says AS-203.
Arsenic trioxide.
What was that he said before he...
He said, I go to a new life.
11:15 a.m. I brought Dr. Itar's notes, medical charts, and Nova back with me to Bureau headquarters. I was hoping for some clue, if not in the notes and charts, then in Nova's memory. Meanwhile, reports of new suicides kept pouring in from all over the world. Date, May 30th, 6 days later. All at once, the suicides have stopped. As David Churcher put it, they killed themselves for 6 days, and on the seventh day, they rested. May 31st, 7:30 p.m. The staff had made little progress, even with the study of Dr. Itar's notes. We met to review our information.
Were they what?
Smiling. Did they look happy?
As a matter of fact, they did. A look of great joy. Could that be important?
Well, if people commit suicide because life is too tough or too dreary or boring, we might be able to control it. But what in this heaven on earth do you do if they die smiling?
The most obvious fact so far is that these people were all among the first to use Itarin. It would suggest that Itarin produces this peculiar effect after 30 years.
Dr. Itar would have to be the exception then, because although he began using it early, he stopped for about 4 years. Could there have been a difference in the first Itarin?
Maybe you have something, Nova. Dr. Itar said something about the first crude Itarin.
I wouldn't count on that, Blake. Our chemists tell us that Itarin has had the same basic structure since its discovery.
Well, then, what would you say are the significant facts, David?
I'd say, for one, what Anita just said. All the victims were the first people to use Itarin.
I've been thinking about that, too. Reports from around the world make it pretty clear that the original users are all, or just about all, suicides.
Dr. Itar does not say in his notes how many scientists at Crest Institute joined him in experimenting on themselves.
No, but I have the feeling this sudden stop in deaths means that they are all dead. If that's the case, we may have about a 5-year reprieve.
Small comfort in that. We still have to account for what Nova said about Itar. He stopped. He eliminated Itarin from his diet for 4 years. Any of us who were over 30 then can probably go any time.
Maybe we should all stop taking it.
Oh, but omitting Itarin caused Dr. Itar to age at least 5 or 6 times the normal rate. In 5 years, Anita, you and David would be nearly 60 years old.
I put that down as fact number 3, rapid aging. What I really want to put down is what happened to these people, to Dr. Itar and the others.
I think we were right from the start about the boredom. These people were not bored. Dr. Itar, for example, worked until the end as hard as ever on his experiments. Maybe his mind slipped a few seconds before he took that poison, but I think he saw something.
Saw something? Like what?
I think he saw heaven. Oh, I know that sounds crazy, and no, my mind's not slipping, but just think. Standing still for 30 years. Even if you are in paradise, you eventually get restless. You want to change. Dr. Itar gave us an almost perfect life. We have enjoyed it, or at least we have not wasted it. But we thought that without death, life would be absolutely perfect.
I don't understand.
If you look at any other quarter century, say since 1900, what changes do you see? Dave, you were in, what, 12th grade about 1950? What was a budding science then, for instance?
Well, aerospace. We laughed at the prediction that in 25 years we'd send a man to the moon.
There you are. Any changes in us came from Iterin and are generally expressed in negatives. No children, no old people to worry about, no schools, no hospitals to finance. We took life easy. Do you know these 10 days are the hardest I've worked in 25 years? I'd forgotten I could feel tired. But earlier, people had to work, struggle, and fight. Advances came from battles won.
You're right, Anita. In those terms, we have just stood still.
That is why I think it was some sort of vision for these ecstatic suicides. The look on their faces almost proves it for me. Maybe I can't put it down as fact number four, but death is the next logical step to heaven on earth.
Then Iterin affected their minds?
Yes.
What would happen to the mind, Anita, if suddenly there were no more Iterin?
It would age, too. Grow senile. More than likely, we'd have more suicides. Many more. Remember, for 25 years, we have not had to cope with troubles or sickness, despair and death.
Our choice seems to lie between death and death.
If we keep on as we are, in another 5 years, the whole human race will commit suicide.
I will almost certainly die in 5 years either way.
I guess I will, too. The strain of such rapid aging will kill us. You, Blake, you may have a little more time. You were under 30 then.
What will happen to those of us who've not reached 30? What are our choices?
You are the hope of the human race, Nova. A slim one, I admit.
If Iterin has made everyone permanently sterile, Nova, you will be the last of the human race.
By slim hope, Dave, did you mean Nova might not be sterile?
If she is, if you are Nova, then that's it. It'll take some time to tell. If not, and that's a big if, then anyone else not yet 30 might also be able to reproduce.
Terrible as it sounds, most of us are going to grow old at sickening speed. To save the human race, we'll have to eliminate Iterin completely. We'll have to die.
Even then, there's no guarantee.
But I have great hope, Anita. Something Dr. Itar said about Nova. The children of her year, 1999, they are still aging. That means they must still be growing, developing. And if they are, they are also creating.
It's the best we have to go on.
What do we do next?
Remember that old expression, Dave? We pass on.
We have only one choice.
The world must choose and live or die with that choice. Remember, 25 years ago, they voted to do away with death.
Isn't that risky? Dangerous? Letting them choose? What if they...
They won't. I was wrong. At the meeting, I mean. I don't believe we really stood still. We are not what we were. When we were thrill-seekers, social climbers, money-grabbers, we chose eternal life. We aren't any of those anymore. What would be the point? Yes, I am sure of our decision. Humanity will not destroy itself just for a few painless years. I knew that as I looked again at Nova. Nova, the hope of humanity. End of report 276J, Federal Bureau of Human Concerns, 10:45 p.m., May 31st, 2025. Virgil Blake, Chief Investigator.
WMUK Special Projects has presented a double feature. Born of Man and Woman was written by Richard Matheson and adapted especially for Future Tense by John Scott. The cast included Peg Small, Mark Spink, Cullen Bailey, and John Scott. Dr. Itar's Experiment was written especially for Future Tense by Martin Gingrich and featured John Phillips as Virgil Blake. Others in our cast were Ruth Heineck, Richard Atwell, Peg Small, and Richard Niesink. The part of Dr. Itar was played by Mark Spitz. Future Tense is produced and directed by Ellie Siegel. If you are enjoying these Future Tense programs and would like to hear more drama on WMUK, please let us know. Address your comments as well as suggestions for future programs to Future Tense, WMUK, Western Michigan University, Kalamazoo, Michigan. The zip code is 49001.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoy what I'm doing, I ask you to please subscribe to my channel or channels. Well, hope you enjoyed, and until next time, stay safe, wish you well, peace.